Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Access Astrology. We are three astrologers who are fascinated by how astrology unfolds in the daily news and in our personal lives. And we're happy to share this with you and take calls from you to see how we can help you see astrology working in your lives. I'm joined tonight, this is Heather Rowan Robbins, and I'm speaking to you from Minnesota, and I am joined by my friend Mark Waltz.
Mark Waltz in New York City.
Mm-hmm. And we have Ann Ortley gallivanting somewhere about the Southwest. She was at the AFA conference. It looked like a wonderful conference in Arizona and is in the Grand Canyon somewhere tonight. And can you feel Mercury retrograde slowing down? Took me forever to get on the airwaves tonight with this. It was quite amazing. If you're out there and you'd like us to speak to you about astrology, you can call us tonight at 347-215-8881. That's 347-215-8881. And then when they give you a chance, just dial 1, and that'll raise your hand and let us know that you want to talk online. So there's quite a grand trine going on this week, the Uranus-Jupiter-Mars grand trine in fire signs. Tonight, the moon conjuncts Pluto in Capricorn and forms a T-square with Uranus and the sun. What are you seeing this week, Mark?
A lot of activity.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some of it is seems to be coming out of frustration and a sort of sense of being fed up. And some of it just seems to be more on the spontaneous side, and that's that grand trine.
Mm-hmm.
When you have Uranus and Jupiter and Mars all hooked up nicely, playing nicely together, you could say, it's spontaneous, you know, things just happen. And so if you get an invitation to just come along, do something with us, whoever it is, take them up on it. Probably a good thing.
Absolutely. And we can feel this sort of spontaneous revolutionary energy in several places in the world news. I'm looking at the revolution bubbling in Hong Kong, or the demonstrations bubbling in Hong Kong.
Yep.
I remember when the Chinese took over Hong Kong many years ago, and they promised Hong Kong that it would stay democratic and able to choose its own government. And everybody pretended they believed it, and now it's not true, and they're acting surprised. But the people from Hong Kong are, you know, resisting this intensely with this aspect. And I think we'll see in many places around the world where there's just, you know, very proactive discontent. Not necessarily anger, but proactive discontent. I think it's going to keep building this year. I'm looking at this coming spring with Uranus and Pluto forming a square again, the way they did, exactly squared again, the way they did last year and in the spring. And I suspect that it's going to get pretty wild. What are you seeing coming
from
that?
Yeah, it's supposed to with Uranus-Pluto squaring.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's been the theme for the last couple of years as they've moved in and out of square. But that is it's a signature for revolutionary actions. So you have the power of Pluto and you have the rebellion of Uranus, and they're squared off to each other. So there you have it. Two big factions. One saying I want freedom, the other one saying I want control.
Yes, and that is exactly what, you know, and that's certainly Hong Kong and China are playing that out exactly.
Yep.
We're seeing that in
Missouri. Which
one
is Pluto and which one is Uranus, do you think?
That's a good question. I would think that the one that is pushing for control would be China.
Yeah.
And strongly.
Yeah, very much. They're playing those roles clearly. Mm-hmm. And then the Uranus says, I want freedom. I want to be able to express myself, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's the Uranus.
Mm-hmm. And the Sun and Venus are moving into a tight aspect. There's going to be, it's quite an aspect coming up this week. We've got a grand trine in fire sign, which is going to be bisected by an opposition between Uranus and the Sun. And Venus is going to join the Sun there. And mm-hmm. the Moon will be conjuncting Uranus and forming on October 8th, which is, you know, a week from now, but it's interesting to see it coming up, that it will be a full moon lunar eclipse that morning.
That's right.
And the full moon will be conjunct Uranus. So we have Sun and Venus on one side, Uranus on the other, and the Moon. And both those, that Sun and Venus and Uranus and the Moon, square Pluto. So, you know, it
That's
may
great.
Be great personal discontent. It's really exciting. But it could also be, you know, great creative ferment. The thing
right.
is, you've got all this incredibly kind of explosive energy, and sometimes explosive energies can work like a like the chambers of an engine, and the little explosions can get us places. They don't have to necessarily be destructive. But Mercury is now in Scorpio and just is going retrograde this weekend. It hasn't gone retrograde yet, but it's about to go retrograde. And I know that when it starts to back up, we have people have less wisdom to make their decisions on the spot. So with Mercury retrograde in Scorpio, it's got some interesting positive sides, and some, I'm worried that you have a lot of charge. It's like a very strong race car with no one driving. So we have to watch that pattern of you, to make sure that we know what we're doing when we put that energy into gear. We can use that creative discontent where we've been working on renovating our room in our house, our bedroom, for weeks, and we're really throwing ourselves into it now as it's getting cold and sleeping on the porch is no fun. But we're hopefully getting the floor in this week. I mean, you can throw yourself into energy, into something that you know is wise and that you know that needs to be done. We just have to make sure that we don't make, you know, nasty mistakes in the process because we're too much in a hurry, which is one of the problems with this. What I see with Mercury in Scorpio is a deep, suspicious, and research mind, which is really good for getting at something that needs to be done. And it can go back and fix things up from the past, but it can be unnecessarily suspicious or inappropriately suspicious. I won't say that. We've talked about how Neptune in Pisces, you know, has some wonderful, you know, it's there for a decade, and it's several years into it, and is very much about feeling permeable in the best of ways, spiritual and intuitive process, great for meditation, but it also is leading the problem as far as increasing our permeability to germs. And this recent Ebola epidemic has been really taking off with Neptune in Pisces and showing the permeability of membranes. Now, it's not particularly contagious. You have to actually touch the fluids of the person. But that first case of Ebola here in America, there's a lot of fuss about it, partly because they didn't know what they were doing. There were mistakes made when somebody showed up at the hospital with Ebola and they didn't recognize it. So he went out and you know, exposed more people. So it feels like, and yet in response to this, it may be absolutely important to protect the rest of the country because there's so much research being done now with what happened, how did the hospital miss the cues, and what could they do to not do this in the future. So yep. I'm seeing that with Mercury retrograde.
And
form
Scorpio.
A trine to that Neptune. Mm-hmm.
And it's making the station in the second degree of Scorpio. So it really, it's barely into Scorpio.
Mm-hmm.
It turns around
mm-hmm.
and goes back into Libra.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way, having this Ebola virus turn up like it did and people not recognize it, but, you know, figure it out pretty quickly. It should help that Mercury goes back into Libra, which is an air sign.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because that should help to pass the information mm-hmm. around and really get organized around the whole thing. You know, if Mercury stayed in Scorpio, it would be much more of a Scorpio approach to whatever has to be done. But
mm-hmm.
it'll become more of a Libra thing. So I think that'll actually help.
Yes, I think you're right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping you're right. I'm voting for that with my imagination, as Carolyn Cain
would
say.
Good, good. Yeah.
So
Mercury
this
actually,
week, yeah?
It'll actually go back to 16 Libra to
Wonderful.
Make the station to turn around again. So it's covering the latter half of the sign.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we get a nice little tour of Libra.
And some interesting review of relationship issues around that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And hopefully a very productive one.
Yeah,
good time to go
be,
back
actually.
To old artistic projects that we haven't done
mm-hmm.
And review some manuscripts that we left hanging, that sort of thing. But we'll talk more about that next week when Mercury is heading back into Libra. So tonight, or today, the moon conjunct Pluto, just as everybody started to panic about the Ebola in America.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow, the moon is in Capricorn most of the day, but it's not, but pretty much void of course. So it's going to be a sort of a wandering, kind of difficult day. May be hard to actually get what you want done. Moon is in Aquarius over the weekend, on Friday and Saturday, and some beautiful aspects on Friday night for socializing and reconnecting with people. But the Sun squares Pluto on Saturday morning and brings this focus, this, you know, am I doing enough? Am I feeling enough? Just as Mercury turns retrograde. And
right.
it's a really tricky combination because Mercury, when Mercury's stationary, Mercury hates to hold still worse than it hates being retrograde, I think. And when it's stationary, everything can grind to a halt or move in place or swirl in the center. Great day for meditating. Not particularly good day for getting the word out. And not a particularly good day for self-assessment because we will tend to fail our own self-assessment. So I want you to be really kind to yourselves on Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, and focus more on what you have and what you can mm-hmm. do than what you have failed to do or what's slipped away from you. Don't dwell on that. You may be aware of it. Okay, fine. But what do I have? What can I get my hands on?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that keep the focus there.
That's beautiful.
Because that works mm-hmm. with the Sun square Pluto.
That's beautiful. And then the Mars trines Uranus exactly that night. So it's going to be a lot of energy, but holding still. Now, there's been some interesting volcanoes around the globe, including in Japan
right.
this week, a rather surprised one. Like, whoops, look, it's surprising that a volcano could slip past all the monitoring these days and take off, but it did. So this is a kind of a volcanic aspect. And I would say that we learn from how the tectonic plate shifts move. Lots of little adjustments will make it easier on us rather than save our energy up for the big one.
You mean even in my life?
Yes, personally in your life. Exactly.
Little adjustments. Oh.
The little adjustments rather than have the big one.
That's a novel idea.
And right now, yes, you know. The moon goes into Pisces on Saturday and Sunday, leaving people feeling all kind of squishy and emotional and sensitive. And then, so if you hurt anybody's feelings on Sunday and Monday, you will pay for it on Tuesday and Wednesday when the moon goes into Aries and we get that lunar eclipse, full moon, Sun Uranus opposition with everything all tied up in that T square. So, and that's a, if you think about what you want to shift between now and then, so you can use that energy to shift it.
Yep.
We've got someone on the line. Are we ready to take a caller?
Yeah, I think this is a good time to take a call. Who's there?
Okay. Hello, 443, you're on the line. How can we help you?
Hi, my birthday is October 18th, 1968.
Yes?
At 1:40 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
In Fort Worth,
and where?
Texas. Fort Worth, Texas.
Okay. And how can we help you?
I have been in pretty much excruciating pain in my neck and shoulders, and it's starting to move down my back for almost 3 years. And I'm wondering if you can tell me why and when is it going to end?
And what have the doctors told you? You're not, I just have there been any information so far?
Well, yeah, there's been all kinds of treatments and physical therapies and tests and MRI, and
nothing.
Really is showing up, which has led me to a Dr. Sarno's research, which basically is extremely tense muscles due to oxygen deprivation, which is all kicked off by repressed emotions.
Yes. I think he's got a point there. You have your ascendant at 13 degrees of Capricorn and your descendant at 13 degrees of Libra. And this spring in April, Pluto was at 13 degrees of Capricorn, right on your ascendant.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Pluto's going back and forth over it. It retrograded back into your 12th house to about 10 degrees and moved forward. Pluto takes well over 200 years to go around the zodiac. So it's after this year, it'll never do this again. But it's sitting right on your ascendant. Uranus is squaring your ascendant as we speak. And this summer, Mars squared it and Jupiter opposed it. So there's been a lot of pressure on who you are. And it's in Capricorn, which I associate with the bones of the neck. And you have Saturn, also bones related, in Aries, in your third house, which is, again, I would say, the bones of the head and neck. And have you done, and you have your moon natally at 14 degrees of Virgo, conjunct Mars, in the eighth house. So I would say it looks like there was a lot of tension around you growing up, and a lot of effort to make you, the effort was that if they could just make you perfect, then no one else would give you a hard time, but it felt to you like a lot of critical energy, or you took it in because you're deeply self-critical.
Mm-hmm.
And it affects your digestive system, and it affects the tension in your head. And I would say we might even find information about this. And there looks like there were some incidences in that first year of your life that left you going, hey, is this safe? Should I be here? And that you can would bring up the tension. In 2 months, your progressed moon goes into Gemini, and you might feel safer talking about your feelings.
Okay.
But I would say, looking at this chart, I would say, yes, do some past life work. Consider hypnotherapy for talking to your muscles and finding out, convincing your body to learn how to relax. Find out what emotions are stored there. But also do some cranial sacral work on getting the bones in the neck and the head to begin to kind of have more space around them.
Okay.
That's what I would look at this and go, digestive system, cranial sacral work, and really giving the pain another voice besides pain.
Does it look like there is a light at the end of the tunnel, like this is not
going
to be a permanent thing?
Yes, this looks finite. Yep, this looks finite.
Okay.
You're going to feel like you're dying, but it doesn't look like you do.
Okay.
Yeah, now, a lot of it is loosening up and just giving yourself space, and that's
mm-hmm.
space around you, socially and in family, and also space within, space between the bones, space along all the muscles. Let them do gentle stretching, and you know, breathe into whatever space you feel, and that'll expand it even more. But it's you have a sense of constriction, and things are tight like piano wires, you know. That's what's causing the pain. Is, you know, and it's got its emotional component, and it also has a physical one. And you
there's a real mechanical component here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is there a situation in your life that you're not feeling empowered? Are you feeling like you're not able to really speak up, and that you're just having to really grit your teeth and not say what you really would like to say, or not feel like your words are being respected?
Probably more that my words are not being respected.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there's something about, and that feels like a very old issue for you. And if you can work on respecting your own words and finding someone who's willing to listen to you and respect your words, it'll bother you less that these people are not. And that's their problem, that they're not respecting your words, not as much yours, because you believe that you know what you're saying.
Okay, does it make sense that with the Pluto on my ascendant that I may be repressed memories may be coming to the surface?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. But you may not know how old those memories are. It may be from other lifetimes. It may be that, you know, a small thing happened this lifetime, but it reminded you of a big thing that happened another time. So you don't have to necessarily know, but that's where I'm wondering if some regression work in this lifetime and in others, if necessary, would help you just find the voice for it.
Okay.
Whatever it was. And remind yourself that you're not that person.
Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you very much.
Good.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
A pleasure. Bye.
Bye-bye.
So we have a few more minutes left, and I don't think we've got anybody else on the line. So we'll talk a little bit more about this week. What are your basic Mercury retrograde survival skills, Mark?
Well, I actually love using the Mercury retrograde to observe exactly how things do get gummed up, and especially looking at my role in it. I feel like it's the best time to learn what part I play in miscommunicating things. I get a real look at it. And usually there's something I have in mind, and if I don't hear something it's right, it's because I wanted to hear something else. Or else the other person wanted to hear something else. It can be either of us or both. And so that's how we end up talking right past each other. And that happens a lot during Mercury retrograde. But it happens at a speed and in a direction where I can actually see it. You know, it's a lot easier to observe. And whereas when everything is going straight forward, we can have the same problems, but I don't see them the same way. So that's what I do with it. Just try to really observe how communications work and don't work. And just, you know, store that information and use it where I can.
That's beautiful. I have to forgive myself that everything is not as easy to do as it used to be. That my momentum does slow down. But I have to find how that when I slow down, what is the gift of that? I get to go deeper into something. I get to go into, you know, more detail. I get to go back and fix, understand at a new level. And when there's a delay, I often find, and there is so often a delay, you get stuck at the traffic, there's, you know, things just don't work the way you think they're going to. If I have a book with me or if I have just a time to let my mind wander or consider or meditate while I'm in those waiting situations, or turn and find, just kind of assume that the universe put me near these people for a reason. Is there something I need to learn from them? Is there something I need to learn about them? Are they just good people watching? Just kind of observe the moment and see how it can be best used. So it,
good.
I think of the Mercury retrograde as kind of a sidebar. It's not in the kind of basic column of text of our lives, but it's a fascinating sidebar that allows us to do some interesting work, which is directly related, but is sort of out of the general flow of our life.
Mm-hmm.
So see what important sidebars come up.
Yeah, that's very good. I like that. Because it's really worth keeping in mind that Mercury retrograde or direct doesn't actually cause anything.
Right.
Things are happening, and because, you know, linked to the direct or retrograde Mercury, we're able to observe more directly or more in reverse. So, you know, because sometimes people run around and say, well, this happened because Mercury is retrograde. I'm not so sure.
It just, it's correlative. You know,
I say
that it's a pattern that we can see. We can go like, oh, Mercury's retrograde. I better keep an eye on these things. But it's not Mercury that's causing it.
Right.
But the same universal patterns that are affecting Mercury are affecting us.
Exactly. And so
and we can roll with it.
Observing on the inside and the outside, we can use the one to observe the other.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think of, you know, Mercury was the messenger of the gods, and I always think of this, if the messenger of the gods is not speaking to us, we need to speak to the gods. It is a wonderful time for prayer, for meditative work, for shamanic journey work, for collage work, which is about the soul, anything that we can do to go and talk to the muses within. That's a powerful time to do it.
Yep.
And
good.
On that note, we're going to get ready to sign out. We have a very interesting workshop coming up in March, first weekend in March. We haven't got the website up for it yet, but I want everybody to think about it. Mark and Ortley and I will be in New York City. And what's the name of the place that we work out of when we're in New York City? It's right near Bryant Park.
It's the, I just forgot.
We'll tell you soon. We'll tell you the next show. But we'll be doing a talk in, and we'll have the details up and running when Anne gets back, because she's good at setting that up. And the three of us will be doing an intensive weekend on relationships, on the relationship dynamics within your chart, what matters to you, what makes you excited, how your love map works, how that compares to another person's, how to look at the aspects in between, and how to deal with comparison charts. So I'm really excited about that workshop.
It's the Source of Life Center. Source of Life.
That's it, the Source of Life Center, which is a block from Bryant Park area.
Yep, very easy to get to.
Yep.
Okay.
So, good luck. Have a wonderful week. And this
Thanks
is Heather signing
in.
Off.
All right. And we'll talk to you next week. This is Mark in New York.
And Heather in Minnesota. Take care.